When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you for tuning in to WWD Voices. Today, we're going to be speaking with the founder of a sustainable apparel brand, PACA. Chris Cody, welcome to WWD Voices. I know very little about your company, except that, you like furry animals, you climb mountains, and you're into sustainability. Is that right?
Those are the top 3 points right now in my life.
So what is PACA? What do you offer? And what was the impetus behind launching it?
There was originally no business plan. It just came from a backpacking trip, roughing it through South America. I was actually working with monkeys in Bolivia, and while crossing over the Andes Mountains, came across this really soft alpaca sweater that this grandmother had, this artisan had woven. And so I brought it back with me to the United States, and every time I wore it, you know, people would always come up and ask where it came from. And I realized people, they know cashmere in the US, they know merino, but people, it just wasn't a familiar sort of fiber. And I was blown away by how soft it was, how lightweight it was, all these qualities from a science perspective that make it so functional. And I realized it's all fashion right now, you know, these high luxury goods that the alpaca market has been in. And so, what was that, like 5 years ago, I flew down on a one-way flight, didn't know really anybody, didn't speak Spanish, and just started traveling around to build our first team.
What was the how big is the team? How big did you start, and where, and how have you grown in those few years?
So the team started with me living on the top of one of the weavers' homes in the Andes Mountains, and working on prototypes out of the kitchen while working, you know, making breakfast. And it's grown to now employing full-time over 100 Quechua women artisans at 4 times the standard family living wage, to be a certified B Corporation that is now one best for the world, 21 and 22 this year. And our team growing in the U.S., I mean, we've brought on 4 people over the past 2 weeks. And so we're continuing to achieve double digit growth year after year, but being completely bootstrapped. This company hasn't taken any investment. And it's something that has grown through just genuine integrity within the customer marketplace and using those sales to finance more growth, you know, little bit by bit.
So you mentioned a B Corp. Do you think it's easier, because you kind of started from scratch, like to become a B Corp, like from the get go, than it is for maybe a larger company to kind of shoehorn into being a B Corp?
You know, I have so much respect for the B Corp team and the level of depth that they go with the actual quantification process. You essentially put out a metric, right? Like it's a number that any company gets quantified based on, with like hundreds and hundreds of deep dive questions. And so as that hierarchical structure gets bigger, obviously there are more gaps with company wages. There are less, you just don't have as big of an eye on your impact perhaps when you get to such a big size. And I see a lot of companies now that are huge reverse engineering sustainability to hit those metrics, right? Whereas for us, it's always been in the innate DNA and something that is what this company is built on. But I'm so excited about how many companies I see out there now trying to get that certification. You know, I mean, customers are waking up, they're asking for it, and they want to know where their things are coming from, who's making them, how are they being treated. Like, all of that is increasingly important right now. So I'm happy to be alive right in this era.
It's a good time, and you're a great example, I think, for the rest of the industry. What do you sell? Do you have men's, women's? What's your product assortment look like?
we started with one hoodie. We launched that Kickstarter out of. It was a unisex hoodie built for adventure. That was what the Kickstarter went viral with, and it still is one of our best sellers. Since then, we've expanded into other, you know, product lines with alpaca, functional activewear, stuff that is really innovating on a fiber level with yarn and knitting, like our socks. We released our first running socks made of alpaca fiber this year, which have now sold out 3 times over and can't keep them in stock. And then obviously this huge new innovation that I think Bill mentioned about the jacket and this insulation, right, which is by far greatest invention yet with alpaca in bringing and putting it on the map to change the outdoor industry.
So it's a puffer jacket. It's going out this fall. Is that correct?
Correct.
And the when you talk about the the sales, you're direct to consumer, right? Because you have a website. Do you have any retail distribution at this point, or
right now our just direct to consumer has fueled such fast growth, and for our margins to be able to reinvest in product at the growth rate we are, it really just makes sense right now to continue meeting customer demand directly to consumer, because, you know, with retail 50% cut of that going with high right. quantity and volume, we are looking very, very much into next year to expand B2B. I mean, a dream of mine would to get our sock program into REI would be to find a way to grow and do alpaca pop-ups on our own. Like, I want an alpaca tour with baby alpacas down the whole West Coast during COVID. And thinking outside the box, I mean, physical activations are so important. I still really do believe that there's a little bit too much e-commerce and not enough physical vibe, and customers need that. I think a brand needs that for a real momentum to build.
Oh, you should go to I think it's every fall. It's in Rhinebeck, New York. There's the Sheep and Wool Festival, and alpacas show up. You know, the people bring animals, and it's amazing. But I would say about 25,000, you know, wool heads. Yeah, wool head. Yeah, we'll call them wool heads.
Yeah,
show up. You know, and it's You've just been. It's a. Yeah, it's a trip. It's fantastic. Let's talk about your target customer. You know, how do they experience your brand? I know you have a lot of social media. Like, what do they expect from your brand, and who would be your target customer?
What do they expect from this brand? Well, for one is, I think people, especially e-commerce nowadays, are inundated with a lot of noise, right? And ads and people over promising and under delivering, you right. know, from quality. And so first and foremost, I think building a brand is building trust, and people expecting now that there is integrity with everything we do, and a product that we do release now with the given capacity and an amount of product with the new that we're making, it has to be top notch. And with our team, it's like, if we're going to make a new product, why are we making this? How much has this been tested? And what value does this really add to people's lives? And so customers, when they interact with PACA and when we have a new launch, I think the reason that our brand has cultivated this very tribal movement is because we don't spam people. There's no pollution from that noise perspective. And when we do communicate, it's very much from a place of heart and excitement and passion for this new innovation with sustainability, because at the end of the day, that's what this is about. You know, it's about innovating and showing a new example of how things can be done. And so that's, I really think, what they expect. To your demographic question, I mean, we're very much pushing into the outdoors industry and opportunity there with adventure, hiking. And then this jacket, I think, is the most functional thing that we've ever made for a performance level. And so that technical side really excites me, because that is the majority of the outdoor industry is plastic, right? It's polyester, right. spandex, nylon, acrylic. And 2/3 of all clothing right now is made out of oil, such as that. And so it's just ironic that the clothing that industry is making is the one that's harming it the most, right? With petroleum production, with microplastics now being found inside 80% of Americans, not to mention all corners of the ocean and, you know, all species. And so really what I'm excited about is offering and innovating with new natural fibers such as alpaca to enable the outerwear industry to even use them. My long-term goal is to really have this incubator for sustainable innovation that allows companies B2B to use these products such as our insulation for their jackets, you know. That's the focus.
So you mentioned, you talked about like this authenticity, let's call it, communicating with your yeah. consumer. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I sign up for a lot of direct-to-consumer e-tailers, their newsletters and whatever, and I test them by putting, you know, I'll put my name, but I'll do Lumphead Zachowicz, right? And so I get these emails back, and they're like, "Dear Lumphead." Yeah, and I'm like, there's no human behind this, you know, and not really paying attention. So my question is, do you use data? Is there a human element to it? Is there a little bit of thought and strategy behind that?
Of course, yeah, and in different touch points as well within that customer's journey to reach out to them on that personal level. You know, whether it's sending a really cute alpaca postcard to customers who have not engaged with the brand in 365 days, say that's data, that's information that we have and addresses and whatnot, but with a cute personal touch that's not spammy or in your face, ways to have our brand be out there, you know? A text-based email to, I mean, Lumphead, but at least with letting you have first access before we push this out publicly, right? Because you have bought something similar. Our new Basecamp blog that is also going to be featuring our community and sustainable innovation, having an ecosystem. Ultimately, if you're on people's minds, I think, you know, that's a good step, right? Is being in all of the noise that everybody's living on people's, you know, minds as a brand, and challenging them to think differently about the world or their own life, and their choices really mattering. And so that's really what our focus is, because customers are the one that is driving the change, and they are the ones that have enabled us to get here. And so with all due respect, nothing exists without them. And that humility, when you speak to customers from that, and you show them that they sent these six Peruvian girls to university, right, last year that we started our Alpaca Scholars program, or the impact they're having on the alpaca farmers down in Peru, and how we're rolling out electric shearing practices because of that traceability program. There's so much to connect customers to. They get excited when you, like, a poll of colors. What right. colors would you guys like us to make their new sweater in? People feel like then they've helped build it. Yeah. And then when that thing actually releases, they're so much more excited and a part of it. And so
yeah, there's stakeholders in it. Yeah, they're a stakeholder.
100%. Yeah.
100%. So you just came back from rock climbing Peru's highest peak. Is that correct?
Heading there next week. The trip has been delayed with the jacket being finished with all of the technical details. But yes, I'm heading out to summit over 23,000 foot mountain down in Peru with a really expert mountaineer named Jose Mostajo, and testing the jacket.
Nice.
Back to our original point about testing before releasing a new product. I mean, that for me is, if we're going to be pushing this out, to have that level of, yes, personally tested and 100% can stand behind this thing at the most extreme climate on planet Earth, that matters.
So when you're mountain climbing or rock climbing or whatever, yeah, climbing
snow it, walls,
that's the is that part of the inspiration? Like, what are you doing when you're at the top of a mountain? Is it, are you thinking about the brand? Are you thinking about the product? Is that where you find like inspiration? Or,
man, I think a lot of my job right now with this company is seeking clarity, and yeah, a lot of the times my ideas about just where the direction is, or yeah, of course, like a quality on the jacket when I'm testing it can be refined and noted. But I think more than anything, it's about finding and creating space to have clarity and be unreachable and cut off distractions to get to that flow state. That's hard to come by nowadays.
How would you describe your corporate culture? This is not like the team. It sounds like it's very kind of open. You guys are open to ideas, right? You listen, you engage with the customer. How would you describe the culture?
Internally, you're saying for
a team? Yeah, internally, sure. Yeah.
Very candid, best ideas win, and very young and energetic and passionate. Every person on our team, I think, I'm so happy, especially with these new four people coming on, right, that every single one has fire within them, and you can't put that into someone. And so it's this really energized team that we're all doing our own thing, but collaborating and connecting to Peru. I mean, half of our team is speaking fluent Spanish, knowing what's going on in Peru, speaking with the stakeholders to find solutions, whether it's the traceability for our whole new socks and making each one traceable back to the alpaca fiber that we were working on yesterday, or the jacket design I was up last night with Taiwan and speaking with our chief of product. It's just hard working, really talented people that love nature. If you were to ask every single one of them how they recharge, it's going outside and sleeping in the dirt, you know, which is for me to be able to have that competency physically, like to be out there when we go to outdoor retailer and are showing the jacket in these outer spaces, you know, that is a vibe. Like our team, and it's important how we show up and how we communicate to people that isn't just behind a screen. Yeah. So I take great pride in our team, and I'm so proud of each person becoming themselves.
Does that make your leadership style or leadership effectiveness easier when you have a good team?
100%.
Yeah.
And I've also had the opposite. I mean, I'm young, right? I'm the youngest person on the team. And so for me, learning the hiring process of judging and being able to determine a person's fit for the team is so important. I have made the mistake a few times now. And so much time can be, I wouldn't say wasted, because the reason that you learn is why you get to the space you are, but it makes such a difference. The people that joined this North Star in mission that we're all marching towards, and we're family, you know. And so with that level of tightness, the vibe is really important.
So we just have a few minutes left. So what's next for Packer? How do you see the brand evolving over the next 5 years?
So really great question. I think we have a 3-year plan and the 5-year. The 3-year is making Alpaca household name and putting it on the map within the outdoor industry as a leader, next to Merino, if not more functional. This new patent pending insulation I spent the past 3 years on is releasing this fall and going on to hopefully fill a lot of jackets, whether even Cotopaxi or these bigger outerwear brand names, and getting them to use it. The reason I really have been working so hard is because I want to enable others too. And so with all of our innovation with Alpaca, I'm really hoping to, I mean, we're getting collabs already started next year, doing a collab with Orvis and some other really cool companies. And so that B2B side and expansion, scaling this company, getting it to just a point of sales that is really exciting and impact. But then beyond that 3-year mark, that is where Packa, I think, transitions out of Packa as its own subsidiary into an incubator where we can have and be enabling hundreds of creators working on sustainable innovations. I mean, you know, one person isn't going to change the world, but hundreds, if not thousands, of people working to the same North Star can. And so the long-term goal is to really build an incubator that brings these new materials to market and helps with that vertical structure.
Chris, it was a pleasure talking with you today. Thank you so much. I'll stay in touch. You know, keep me posted. We'll keep track of how you're doing, and looking forward to your growth. Next time we see you, it won't be at 23,000 feet, but you know, good luck. you know, it was a pleasure having you here, and thank you, listeners, for being here. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Arthur.